We continue this series of messages on unbreakable faith, and this morning we're reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 22. I'd like to invite you to read the word with me this morning. Let us read it together. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In life, affliction is inevitable. But faith is always optional. We choose to exercise faith or fear when facing suffering. As the late Oswald Chambers stated, no healthy saint ever chooses suffering. He chooses God's will as Jesus did, whether it means suffering or not. Young Joseph, one of Jacob's sons, chose to trust the will of God for his life. At the age of 17, he had two dreams. And the message of the dreams was that one day he would reign over his household, over his family, his brothers. He was so excited that then he went and he told his brothers. Telling his brothers about this dream was pure foolishness on Joseph's part. His brothers hated him because he was Jacob's favorite son. Now, we know that favoritism can ruin a family, right? To show how much he loved his son, Jacob, handmade a special coat. Some versions of the Bible describe it as a richly ornamented robe. Others would say that it was a robe of many colors. And Joseph wore it proudly. When they saw him come, they knew there was the dreamer coming down, the favorite child, because he was wearing that robe of many colors. Imagine how furious the brothers were when they heard about Joseph's dreams. Immediately, they plotted to kill him. What a family. Now, be careful who you tell your dreams to. But one of the oldest brothers, named Reuben, aborted their plan and convinced them that it was better not to kill him, but instead to place him in a pit. Other versions will say a cistern, and to leave him there because there was no water. Take his coat off and throw him there. In the back of his mind, Reuben was thinking, when they go somewhere else, I'll come back at night and get Joseph out of the pit and take him back to our father. Side note, the Hebrew word used in this verse for pit has a few translations. Well, cistern, a ditch, a place of destruction. As they were talking about it and they placed him in that pit, Reuben left and the other brothers went and sat down for lunch. And as they were eating their peanut butter and jelly sandwich, they saw a caravan of the Ishmaelites coming down the hill. And one of them had a bright idea. They said, how about if we sell the dreamer, Joseph, to the Ishmaelites? And the other one said, oh, what a great deal. Let's do it. And so they did. At night, when Reuben came for little Joseph and he opened up the pit, he was gone. So he went to his brothers and he said, "What did you do with him?" And they said, "Oh, we sold him. He's gone." So one of them had the bright idea to take that coat of many colors, kill an animal, get the blood. You're talking about being, premeditated crime here. And they cover that coat with that blood. And then they took that robe of many colors to the father. And they said to the father, "Here is your son's coat. Do you recognize it?" He looked at it. He had made it. He smelled it. He said, "Yes, that's my Joseph's coat." And he cried because he was convinced that some animal had torn his precious little Joseph to pieces. Oh, how Jacob mourned his boy. While Jacob was mourning his son, Joseph was going from pit to pit to pit. Have you ever been in a pit? Not literally, but figurative. Can't say the word. David, the great psalmist, was once, or maybe many times, in different pits in his life. And he confessed, Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on the solid rock. Oh, rock of ages, thou wast cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee." Child of God, if you are in a pit this morning, whether you're here or watching us via the live stream, I am here to tell you that even in the pit, God is right there with you. For he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The God of angel armies has your back. Keep the faith. Stay the course. For they are more for us than against us, as the prophet told his servant. Yes, Joseph went from pit to pit. The brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sold them to an Egyptian officer of the Pharaoh. Nevertheless, the Bible says in Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3, that the Lord was with Joseph, and everything Joseph did prosper. The officer's house was blessed on account of Joseph. The scriptures tell us that Joseph was well built. He was buff. He was handsome. He was happy to the eyes. Genesis 39:7. I added a few things there, but. And the officer's wife, to say the least, was a ball of fire. She lusted after Joey. Every time she saw him, she would invite him to bed with her. And Joseph would decline. He would say no. And one day Joseph came to do some work. And unbeknown to him, I believe she had arranged it, there were no servants around. And again, she was wearing her red negligee and she was all decked out, and she said to him one more time, come to bed with me. And Joseph ran. But as he ran, she was able to cut a piece of his robe. Joseph flew from sexual immorality. But when her husband came home, she said to him, look what your servant Joseph has done. Poor Joseph. Back to the pit he went. He was sent to prison for a crime he had not committed. He was alone in that jail cell. No one to visit him. You know, he could have given into the trap of isolation, depression, low self-esteem, disappointment. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. Lord, what about that dream? Probably I would have done all that. You said that you would be with me, that I would reign over all the people. Where are you, Lord? But instead, I can only imagine Joseph walking back and forth and saying, I know in whom I have believed, and he will be faithful to complete the good work that he just started in me. I know that in Genesis, Lord, you said that I am the head and not the tail. I know that your word promises me that you will never leave me or forsake me. And you know why I know this? Because the Bible continues to say right there that the Lord was with Joseph. And everything Joseph did prospered. If the Lord was with Joseph, then that means that Joseph was with the Lord. That there was intimacy. That there was some deep communing going on. Therefore, he was able to encourage himself in the Lord. You know, when I've learned this. When you're down in the pit, And you want to go to somebody and cry and tell them, because sometimes it's not complaining, it's that you have to let it out. You're in pain. But all of a sudden, the person makes it all about them. Oh, I remember when I was there. Boy, did I cry tears. Oh, yeah, I know how hard it is. Blah, 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 blah. And you leave the presence of that person, and you're still broken. But when we choose to encourage ourselves in the Lord, Bible says that he is someone that sticks to us closer than a brother. He listens, he understands, and he also comforts us. There might be times in our lives that no one might be around, but he's always there. Amidst his suffering, Joseph remained obedient to God, and he remained faithful. All these trials and tests helped Joseph exercise his faith muscle. You know, it's just like when we exercise, and we get used to, well, now I could lift 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 100, 200, but all of a sudden you stop going to the gym for a while. A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 months, 5 months. And then one day you have the bright idea. You say, I'm going to go to the gym today. And you go, and you think you could lift the 100 pounds you were lifting before. And you put it in there, and you just try. And all of a sudden you realize, I can't. Why? Because I wasn't doing it consistently. And that's the same thing with our faith muscle. If we're not exercising our faith daily, then our faith diminishes instead of increase. You see, to quote the late Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he's a man that, if you know his story, he suffered tremendously until the point of death. And he said, suffering then is the badge of true discipleship. The disciple is not above his master. Following Christ means passio, passive. Suffering because we have to suffer. Finally, after 13 long years, the dreams that God had given Joseph became a reality. At the age of 30, Joseph was invested with the honor of the office of the prime minister, second only to the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh even gave him his signet ring, which gave him the authority to sign any documents and to do business on his behalf. Through slavery, imprisonment, false accusation, Joseph stood on God's promises. And his faith became unbreakable. He is the God who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is what David said in Psalm 103 and verse 4. Joseph's unbreakable faith helped him to endure all the difficult trials he faced. And if you know the story, finally, the brothers had to come to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. And when he finally confronted them, they all knelt before him. They thought that Joseph was going to kill them. It's going to be chop, chop, chewy, chewy after what they've done to him. But instead, Joseph said to them, I am in God's place. What you meant for evil against me, God turned it around for my own good. In order to bring all of us to this present result, to preserve many people's life. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. Beloved, this is one of the most impacting stories of forgiveness, grace, and hope in the Bible. You see, Joseph wasn't self-absorbed. He didn't go about saying, what about me? What about me? What about me? Just like Reverend Hancock reminded us yesterday, the church was not created for us. It's not about us. It's about those who are out there that haven't yet heard the gospel. Those that are not yet enjoying salvation and the grace that we find in Christ. Joseph wasn't moved by his outward situation, but by his inward relationship with the Lord. He drew strength from that relationship. When he was humiliated, when he was forgotten, wrongfully accused, betrayed, etc., he could have become bitter. That's usually the initial reaction. But instead, He became better. He was shining for God. We too can be like him. As a matter of fact, we read in Genesis 41, 52, that he named his second child Ephraim, which means twice fruitful. He said, God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my afflictions. Friends, we too can be fruitful in the land of our afflictions. God doesn't waste our pain. He uses our pain for our own good. Growth happens when we endure the pit. Every time Joseph was thrown into the pit, God was beautifying his character for that appointed time. And he does the same for us if we allow it. Before dying at the age of 110, Joseph gathered all his family. You know, this was a sacred moment in the life of Joseph. After all he had been through, now he knows he's about to die. He gathers the family, and he reminds them that God is a faithful God. And that many years ago, God had entered a covenant with Abraham. And he had promised them the entrance to that promised land. And he said to his family, I want you to look forward. I want you to remember the covenant. One day you are going to walk away from Egypt into the promised land. Remember my bones and take my bones with you. Even in his deathbed, Joseph was looking to the promise. He believed in the faithfulness of God. Therefore, his faith remained unbreakable until the end. Louisa Stead was devastated after losing her husband in a tragic drowning accident. She too found comfort and strength in the faithfulness of God. And sometime later, she wrote these familiar words. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise and to know, thus says the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I have proved him more and more. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Let us pray. Father God, I don't know what each person brought in their hearts this morning. Only you search our hearts and know our hearts. I especially pray this morning for those who are in the pit of suffering, cancer, family situations, broken relationships. you know all things. And just as you walked with Joseph, you have promised to walk with us. No matter where we are, in the pit or out of the pit. Help us to be like Joseph, that even when he was in the pit, the palace was on his mind. Father God, give us the grace to trust you more and more. Holy Spirit, our sweet comforter, enable our faith to grow. Give us the measure of faith that is needed to walk with you. Empower us today. Give us the unbreakable faith that Abraham and Isaac and Noah and Enoch and Joseph had. We need you today. We want to trust you more and more. As we prayed earlier, creating us a clean heart. A heart without division and gossip and hatred. A heart filled with your presence and love. A heart filled with faith. Because you say in your word that without faith, it is impossible to please you. And we want to please you. We ask this in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.